Coming to you live from the west side of the High Street Bridge, it's The Nate Darling Show.
Call me sir, goddammit.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, trust him, he's a professional.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Here's Nate.
And welcome into another episode of The Nate Darling Show. I am Nate Darling, your host. With me as always, Jason Casey.
What up?
And Kareem.
What's going on?
How do I sound to you guys? Do I sound all right?
You sound good.
Okay. Thank you. We have a new audio setup right now. The new Rode Procaster board.
Bam.
That will be featured in the Darling New Media podcast studios.
It's all bright and shiny.
We do not have the microphones in yet. So these are the other microphones. So it's going to sound even better than this.
Way better than this. I'm just kidding.
No, it will.
Like, no, it will.
It will, because the board has an EQ built into it for those specific mics.
What?
Whereas the EQ built into the board is exactly the same for the mic I'm using, the mic Jason's using, the mic Kareem's using, and these are three very different microphones.
Oh, yeah.
So, anywho, that's all that's going on. We're back after a week away. Kareem had some illness he was dealing with, and I had a leak in the roof. Still have a leak in the roof, by the way. No matter how much patching we do.
Son of a bitch.
It's been one of the most frustrating things ever. I cannot tell you the number of times I've been on the roof with my father-in-law, just patching and patching and patching. Mm. Clearly, we have not found where it's actually leaking. We're going to patch everything but the spot where it's leaking. It's going to be nothing but covered in wet seal. It's going to have more wet seal than a wet seal.
Is there a crawl space up in the attic? Is there like an attic area?
The area where it is leaking, no.
Mm.
No.
Of course not.
It's not. The place where it's leaking is where the roof is flat.
Son of a bitch.
Now, it may be coming in somewhere else and drifting down to there because water finds its channel.
It does.
I mean, we know we need a new roof. That's not a secret here. So just one of those things that we're having to deal with. Turn my headphones up. I'm still getting used to what this sounds like.
It sounds a little bit different, but I'm not sure what the...
And I've been doing the morning crunch wrap on this for a week plus now.
Yeah.
So I know what it sounds like in the end. It sounds fantastic. Sounds super clean. Sounds great. So that's not an issue. It's just weird in my headphones.
Yeah, it does sound... I think I sound a little louder. I don't know if my headphones are up too loud or what.
I could turn your headphones down if that makes you feel better.
I feel like we all sound a little tinny.
I don't think Kareem sounds tinny at all.
No, not him. Maybe just me.
Just you? You sound fine to me.
That's good.
You sound fine to me. Let me make a quick adjustment here on me.
You know, I might sound like I always sound to myself, which is horrible.
Right.
I just might hear.
You're just getting used to it.
Just hearing a more distinct, you know, sound.
Let's voice. You know, let's get you some medium there. Let me give you some tone here. Let's say that you're a high pitched voice, Jason. Go ahead and talk.
A high pitched voice?
No, it's fine. You fall distinctly into medium.
So. Medium.
You're medium, sir.
All right.
You're medium, sir. I mean, I can turn your high pass filter off.
No, that's fine. I'm sure I'm fine.
Is that better now? Feel better?
No, does it sound better?
I don't know. How do you feel now?
I feel like, no, not that one.
Oh, how about now?
Yeah, I like that. That's good.
There you go. I just turned your big bottom on.
Oh, there you go. That's what I needed.
Literally, I just turned your big bottom on.
Bam.
One thing that's nice about this board is because I'm mic one, I can turn on ducking. And if I turn on ducking, what that does is when I'm talking, your mic levels are lower. So you will never be able to talk over me.
Gosh damn it.
That's right, Jason. Shush.
No.
Turn that off. I don't need that. So yeah, it's a technical marvel. So something a little bit different. And I'm excited to get the microphones in and get everything put together to make it sound excellent. The room should sound a lot better, too. Although in my headphones, it doesn't, but I'm used to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kareem sounds fantastic. I think it might just be that microphone is better with this board.
The microphone, that microphone is it's a nice one.
It is. It's a third the cost of the one I'm talking into. So.
Man.
Yeah.
And then mine was found on the side of a road.
It was.
It's an ice cream.
Up a hobo's ass.
It has a distinct smell and aroma.
The amazing thing is when people are listening to this afterward, they're going to be like, what the fuck are these idiots talking about? Yeah,
this, I turned it off after. I didn't even find out what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, it's bad times. All right, so before we get to anything else, how was your week or 2 weeks? Kareem, how about you?
Man, I was really run down last week. Just a whole lot going on with trying to get the project finished and my mom's cancer and her being difficult. So, so far, work week is work. Month of April is looking great for work. You know, when the month starts and you've already made your bogey for the month, that's a good day.
That's fantastic.
I met with Alex to go over things for the project. So we have a schedule for April 20th to edit video.
Mm-hmm.
So you're off the hook on that one.
I'm glad he can help you out. We had a good time at the shoot though.
So I'm kind of glad that you guys didn't do a show last week because I wanted to see how the shoot went for you.
Right.
And I appreciate it. So Nate helped me. So for everybody, Nate helped me do a shoot of three people having a conversation. Well, actually, it was three people and three kids.
Yeah, it was a little nutty at times.
Yeah, who helped me do a shoot for my project. So I appreciate that, Nate. So I wanted to ask you, how was that for you?
It was fine. It's really weird for me because I'm used to being the one directing a shoot. And I was there to be technical help, but it was your shoot. So, and I've done that before. It's not really a big deal. It was just very interesting because of the guys and kind of the subject matter and having three kids running around.
Yeah. So did anything strike a note with you with the conversation that was going on?
Yeah, what's really interesting is, as a white guy who does not sit around, listen, I've never been in a situation where I've been surrounded by African Americans in their natural habitat. No, I'm just kidding. Joke. Yeah. It's just a joke. No, I haven't had the opportunity to sit around and be the one white guy in the room where a group of African Americans are having a conversation about their experience. And I thought it was really powerful, a lot of the things that they were saying, because there are things that I guess this is what white privilege really is. There are things that they were saying about being fathers and their experience that never would have occurred to me. And because they never would have occurred to me, I guess that would be the white privilege, because I don't worry about a variety of those things.
That's the exact definition of what white privilege.
Right. I don't, you know, because you hear white privilege and it's really easy to just rage out and go, what do you mean? I worked hard for what I have. Yeah. I do this. I do that. I don't have privilege. But then when you hear that and kind of understand, oh, okay, it's because I never had to worry about X, Y, and Z, that it's not an issue. Now, there are white people who grow up without a father around.
Yeah.
So some of the things that one of the guys was talking about wasn't necessarily unique to him being African American, but it was unique to me. I come from a two-parent home. And so some of the things they were saying, just, I'm like, oh, I would have never thought of that.
Yeah. So that's one of the things that you brought that up. That's one of the things I have to tell people, especially in my situation, is like, if you grew up with anybody who was there for you consistently, you have no idea what my life is like.
Right. And going through training with the foster system, like we have been, that's one of the things that they teach you first off, is these kids don't come from a place where they've ever had the stability where they can trust somebody. There's been no consistency for them. They don't know that they can trust anybody. So they probably don't trust anybody. And that's something you have to earn.
Yeah. So, but I really appreciate you helping me with that. And like yeah. I said, I wanted to get your take on it because, I knew it was probably a new experience for you. Mm-hmm. And so but this is how we mend the fence.
Yeah. Men don't talk about this stuff. Yeah. It's not a conversation that we have. I thought it was really powerful. I thought there were some really, really powerful moments in it. Apart from the one really excitable kid who was trying to knock everything over and kill himself. I think that was the big thing.
Yeah. Oh my God. That was, yeah.
Yeah. It was not a kid friendly location either.
Right. And we couldn't use the other room because it wasn't a video friendly location. Oh,
it wasn't video friendly. It wasn't audio friendly. It was just not a friendly location. Yeah. I mean, it was okay for yoga and what they do in there, but
yeah,
it would not have sounded or looked good.
But the other thing about that was it was showing, I mean, the guy's wife had to work that day, mm-hmm. or and she works in Fresno.
Oh,
so damn. She hadn't got back home in time for that. So, but it shows that, you know, that's what you go through as a parent, and that, okay, his wife had to work late, so he has three kids.
Well, it's Jay Chandrasekhar was doing a Netflix show called Nailed It. And they get near the big finale as they start their last challenge. And he's like, hey guys, cause he pulls out his phone. Is like, hey guys, I gotta go. I gotta pick up my kids, but I should be back by the time they're done their baking.
Yeah.
And he leaves and he comes back. He comes back before they finish their baking, like with 5 minutes left to go before they got to the end. And he's got Starbucks. He's like, hey, everybody loves coffee, right? And yeah. He walks back in, but there's a celebrity. He directs major Hollywood movies, and he had to go pick up his kids. So it happens to everybody who has kids and a schedule and all of that stuff. So it's it becomes that challenge that you got to deal with. Jason, how about you? How was your week?
My week is a constant struggle with coming to terms with having another child.
What?
Yeah. All I can think about is like there's going to be another kid in the house in a month.
That soon.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like April 27th. So it's just, it's getting more like the gravity of the situation. it's getting more, I mean, and thinking,
my God!
I know there's so many feelings and so many thoughts on a regular basis right now. I mean, CJ is no longer going to be the only one, you know, and that's like, I guess one of the things as, you know, and I've heard this a number of times, but, you know, that like, oh, you don't love it, that child any less. You just love more. And I don't know. It just, it's, she's no longer going to be my little baby. I'm going to have another little. I would have a real little baby.
Right. Right. And you were just getting back to sleeping again.
Kind of, yeah. But no, but like for the last 2 weeks, because I know that soon I won't have any sleep at all. I've decided to double down and play more video games later into the evening than I usually do. Because I'm like, fuck it.
Now, are you okay? Because your eyes are watering pretty severely right now.
Well, just because I'm just.
Are those emotional
tears? It's emotional tears. Okay. Like, I mean, it's. CJ's a special kid, and I love her immensely. And I can't imagine. Like, it's going to be neat. And it's weird and strange. I'm fucking having two kids. I have two. I'm going to have two kids. I already have a kid.
There's going to be one for each of you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Yeah, Chris. I hope Chris understands that, like, she no longer gets the benefit of sleeping in. I guess that's the... think that that's the like, right now she still sleeps in. Like, she'll, like, she gets to waste the last minute to wake up. And she gets ready in 15, 20 minutes. But that's not going to be the way it is anymore. Yeah, they're both going to be on full time.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of this going on in your house.
Yeah. Oh, there's already been a lot going on. Daddy Shark, doo 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 doo, Daddy Shark.
Okay, enough of that.
Grandma Shark, doo 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 doo.
Yeah, I assumed. Shark, doo, doo, I assumed doo, it went doo, through doo, the whole family tree.
And then you go through Grandpa, and then you it's let's eat lunch, doo 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 doo. Let's eat lunch, doo doo. And you're chasing around fish, let run away, doo 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 doo. Yeah, it keeps going on. It goes on. Two more verses.
It feels like it does. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, for me, and I, here's what I noted, some ass bot called me a snowflake on Facebook.
Well, it's kind of true.
Snowflake.
He called me a snowflake.
You're white.
So, trust me, so is this guy. So it was right after the Mueller report came out, Walt Gray, who I know, who I've worked with, shared an article on Facebook about it and mentioned something about if people were surprised or whatever. And I said, I'm surprised you chose to share the article from Fox News. Not because he's conservative or whatever, right, but he works for an ABC affiliate, which is owned by Tegna, which has plenty of national news outlets and articles on the same thing. It was just odd that he chose to share a Fox News.
And you're
article.
Kind of ribbing him as a friend of his, kind of, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
he knows that.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. So this dude, this random dude, who, by the way, his profile picture is him and his wife, and his cover photo on Facebook is his small children. He's got multiple small children.
Okay.
And I'm just thinking, really, dude? And this angry thing. He goes, hey, snowflake, I bet would it have made you happier if you would have shared the article that said the exact same thing from MSNBC or CNN? And I just replied, your response says a lot about you.
I love it.
Because I thought about ripping him to shreds, and I'm like, no. And I thought about making fun of him, thought about saying something like, I bet your kids are really proud.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, don't bring the kids into it.
Yeah, no.
I mean, he puts them right out front and center.
Right, right, right.
I find some of the people that make the most hateful, ridiculous, ignorant comments on Facebook, their kids are either in their profile picture or in their cover photo. Always. Yeah. So just, I mean, if you find somebody saying something hateful on like a news thread, go ahead and click their profile just to see what they're rocking there.
And Christian is usually in that.
Oh, yeah.
First three words.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So that's how I got out of it. I was like, no, not.
That was a good response.
Yeah. What good does it do me to just engage in that whole thing? Because that was the end of it. He did not reply after that.
Yeah.
Because what do you say? No, you are.
Well, I just don't understand sometimes why. Like, I know some of the people like that are relatives that have
Jason's relatives
that have, and I have lots of relatives. So,
yep.
Please try to guess. Go ahead and think it's about you.
If you think it's about you, maybe it
probably
is. Maybe it is.
So they're so angry. They're so angry, yet they all own houses. They all have plenty of vehicles. Like, what is so shitty about their lives? Like, what is so fucked up about their lives, and why are they so fucking angry? Why are they so angry? And I just don't get it. I don't get why they're so angry and why they're so upset about all these other people and all these other things when you got your shit. Like, you got everything you fucking need. Like, that's the fucking American dream. And what else do you got to fuck? What's your major malfunction? Like, seriously, because they get so hateful and so angry and like are so willing to throw their fellow people under the bus. Like, regardless of whatever happened with Jussie Smollett, if your first reaction isn't, oh, this is sad, this is horrible, like, I hope whoever did this gets caught. Like, if your first reaction is, he didn't do it, I mean, he did it himself, like, you're a fucked up human being. And I really, that's what makes me sad, is when people, like, right now, and I'm just fucking tired, I'm tired of these fucking assholes. I'm tired, like, why are you so angry? Why are you so angry? Like, I mean, I've asked people that now. That's
because they got all the shit and they realize that they don't want all the shit.
Or they've got all the shit and they're afraid that someone's going to come and take it. Someone's coming for my shit.
It's a great way to fucking live. Like that, you know what? That's exactly how Jesus talked about living your life. That's how he wants you. I think that that's actually what he said.
Woe be if the man that tries to take my shit.
Yeah, I think that was one of his...
That's the apostle, according to Luke.
I thought it was Macy.
Luke Bryan.
I thought it was, or J.C. Penney.
Hey, everybody, I'm Luke Bryan. Try and take my stuff, I'll kick your ass.
There was a guy on Twitter last week who posted a question to white people about what they were afraid of. And it was some weird answers like that. Or, you know, like, no, his question was, tell me about an experience that you would have, you've had as a white person that you know that a person of color would never either live through or have to deal with. And some of the stuff that was coming up was stuff like that. But answers to that question, which is really the situations that they went through that as white people that they know that a black person or brown person would get killed in. And shit, I lost my train of thought. But that brings me back to that, which is like, what are you mad about when you can get, drunk drive, cuss out a cop, spin in a cop's face, and then they take you home to your mom and be like, you have a troublemaker here. Those were the kind of things that they were talking about that they got away with. So I don't know. It's I don't know if is they're afraid of what, of getting their shit taken, or understand that they shouldn't have some of the shit that they got.
Or they're just believing the shit that they hear on TV. Like they're just susceptible to hearing shit that they don't need. Like, it's really not what you need to be. That's not what you need to be worrying about. Like, what you should be worrying about is how you're going to retire and what type of earth is are your kids going to have when they are old enough to have their own kids.
But that's not even the shit that they care about.
I know it's not. I know, because they're fucking ridiculous. You know what they care about is, you know what, I think I might want to get a 2019 Chevy Tahoe. Like, that's what they're always thinking, right? They're all thinking about what's the next thing I can fucking buy.
I need a boat.
I want to have some type of, like, wealth. And, like, that's... anyhow, sorry.
Philosophical. Jet ski.
Yeah, jet ski.
Jet ski. Need a jet ski.
I need a bigger I need a bigger truck so I can pull my boat.
I am
a jet ski at the same time.
Which, hey, there's nothing wrong with that, man. Like, there's nothing wrong if that's what you want. All right. But, like, what the fuck?
Like, go get it and stop bitches about,
like,
everything.
You got it already. You already have some of it. Like, what's preventing you from having more of it?
Mm.
Yourself?
Mm. You know, I'm going to skip ahead because I think it's time for this.
And now it's time for the airing of the fucking grievances.
Jason, would you like to continue?
Oh, man. I'm just sick and tired of that, like, that duality. Like, you know, I saw that, like, first in white people, like, when I was growing up, and the first time I really saw and heard people that were racist. Because I didn't really know that. I grew up in the Bay Area. And it's a privilege, in a way, to see, like, to grow up in that area, which was somewhat diverse, and having experiences with homosexuals, homosexuality, AIDS, and stuff like that at a young age. So when
I'm
I would go to
the whole thing,
when I would go to East County, San Diego, to El Cajon, Lakeside, Alpine, I experienced something that I'd never experienced before, and that was people saying the N-word about black people on a regular basis, making racist jokes and stuff like that all the time. But then also going to church. but I saw this, that I had this friend who listened to rap. We listened to N.W.A. And stuff like that. But then he would go and he would say the N-word, and he would say racist things. Because
that's kind of what he was brought up. I don't know, brought up in. But there's that duality that I saw where he's listening to rap music and he's enjoying it, yet he's hating the people that are making it. And not seeing, like, he didn't realize that he was being programmed to be hateful yet. You know, does that make sense? Like, he was being programmed by his family and where he comes from to think less of black people. It wasn't necessarily the music that it was, because he's gotten more racist since then, or I've become more not racist. I don't know. But I'm just tired of white people that can't own up to the idea of what white privilege is. And I think white privilege is a great term for what it is. We talked about that.
I think it's a terrible term.
No, it's
because
a great,
because there's that complete. It, what it immediately does is it makes people put up this wall.
No, it's. I was going to say it's a great thing. Is it's exactly what it is, but it's not a great way to communicate it.
Right.
Like global warming, and how horribly they missed the boat on that one. I'm calling it something like climate change at the beginning because there's so much fuel to the fire. Like, they needed to ease the white people into it.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where the people that are against it are going to find their way to.
They're just going to. And the thing is he was brought up in a household that was very racist. And you get locked in these echo chambers, and I think that that's what it is. You don't get out and experience the world and whatnot, except for what the media portrays to you, and you. Yeah, I'm just tired of it though, man. Like, why can't you just believe the best in people? I know that shit's bad, you know, and like we want to think, but people just have stopped thinking about the best. They automatically think the worst of people in the situation and whatnot, and it's just a bad place for us to be. And I'm tired of it, and especially people that are just angry all the time. Like, why are you angry? Why are you angry? There's no reason to be angry.
Fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself, man. I get angry. I get angry a lot.
All right. Kareem.
Okay. So having just finished the fourth episode of The Case Against Adnan Syed, for y'all who don't know, that was he was the person who the Serial podcast and Undisclosed was about. And the state court in Maryland just
reopened the investigation.
No, they reinstated his conviction after the appeals court had said he should get a new trial.
Just before the series premiered, they said no new trial.
Yeah. Oh.
Which took a little steam out of the series.
Oh, and then the fucking Baltimore Sun decided that they wanted to up in the last episode of the series by trying to announce that there was DNA evidence that proved that he wasn't the person that was there. So fuck you, Baltimore Sun, for shitting on other people's work. Just the fucking court system itself. When you have this much shit it doesn't necessarily prove that he's innocent, but it shows that there's a whole lot of fucking doubt when the person who's the only person who links a person to a case has 50 different stories about what happened. Maybe you should think about the fact that you got something wrong.
Was that the mall, the guy in the mall?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. The guy that was older than her?
No, Jay.
Jay.
Yeah, because that's the only link that they have. That's the only thing that they have to him. To the case.
Right.
There's no physical evidence. There's nobody that saw him with her at the end of the day. There's no fingerprints of him is in the car. There's nothing that links him to her death at all, except for Jay. Period. That's it. And he's saying that the police gave him part of the information that he got. So, court system, I thought we were supposed to be about justice. Apparently you're about more about fucking protocol than you are about freeing innocent people. So we need to get that right. And people sitting on juries of people who are killed by police officers, You're as responsible for the police if you don't hold them accountable for bullshit. So everybody who's involved in the political, in the criminal justice system, take your head out your ass, pay a fucking attention to what's going on. If you're a prosecutor, it's not your job to win. It's your job is to find the truth and get the right person. You're not a fucking lawyer that's out to win $1 million settlement. You're a person who's supposed to be trying to find the truth. And if there's enough stuff out there to show that you're down the wrong path, you need to have less of an ego and more of a thought that maybe I'm wrong and maybe I should rethink this shit. The guy who actually took up the case, a fucking prosecutor pro bono. Where the fuck does that? That doesn't happen.
Hold on. He just enjoys putting people in jail.
Yeah. He's fucking prosecuted this dude pro bono. Who gets a fucking lawyer appointed to them after they hire, after they admitted to helping bury a body by the prosecutor?
Seems odd.
The prosecutor gave the guy a fucking lawyer. He spent no time in jail. He's had 20 to 25 encounters with police since then and has not spent more than a night in jail. There's something fucking wrong with that. American justice system, get your head out your ass. Do the right thing.
I'm sure that's going to happen.
My grievance is a little less severe, although in some ways more severe. Did a lot of driving over the weekend. Went down to a wedding in Solvang.
Oh, man.
And so we've got the Chevy Volt, which is a fantastic car. Has a lot of things about it that makes it easier to drive places. Like when you put the adaptive cruise control on, it will slow down so you don't hit the car in front of you. And then you pull into the other lane, it speeds up by itself. When you're in a traffic jam, you adjust the gap between the car in front of you. And the only thing you ever have to do is if you come to a complete stop, you have to tap the accelerator to start moving again. But it will stop on its own.
What?
Which is fantastic. We even finally tried out the parallel parking assistant.
Wow.
Which, it parks straight as an arrow. It was fantastic. Here's the problem.
Uh-oh.
The other people on the road.
Oh, yeah?
Because so many times on the trip down, there would be this backup of traffic. We'd get, it's like stop and go, stop and stop and go, stop and go. What's happened? What's going on? There must have been a huge accident. Oh, there's a guy changing a tire.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You go a little bit further ahead. Oh, a cop has someone pulled over. At one point, there was actually an accident, but it was all the way off to the side of the road.
Right.
I can't deal with that. It's like the car can't account for that. I got to deal with all you idiots. And here's the other thing. I'm in the fast lane. I've got cruise control set. I know how fast I'm going. I get a guy who comes running right up to my back end, and I'm like, look, I'm going to pass this car, and I'm not tromping down on the accelerator. So I get past them, get a little bit, get over, look in my rearview mirror, and they have suddenly dropped back about 100 yards. I'm like, what? And then there's another car coming up, so I get over in the fast lane. I look in my mirror. Who's back there again? Old inconsistent foot. Meanwhile, I've been going 72. Not a variation of 1 mile an hour. And they're up on my ass, back 100 yards, up on my ass, back 100 yards. People, get your shit together.
You're doing 72 in the fast lane on the 5?
I was not on the 5. We took 80 to 680 to 101 all the way down and back.
Wow.
That's the ways that Waze told us to go.
Hmm.
Yup. Right. Yeah. Okay. 72 in the fast. Well, here's the thing. Most of that trip, there's only two lanes.
That's what I was going to say. That's a horrible... Like a, I mean, like, you can go down 5 and then just cut over, can't you?
There's only two lanes on 5 most of the way.
Yeah, but it's usually flowing.
Look, I listen to Waze because Waze knows the fastest way.
It does usually. It does usually.
So what are you arguing with me for?
I'm not.
Okay, I have another grievance. Jason arguing with me just for the fuck of it.
I'm gonna turn
ducking back on if you keep this shit up.
I was just asking questions, bro. Yeah. I was just asking questions. Yes, you don't have to get defensive.
You know what? You can take I-5 South and cut across 3-4 different places if you want.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
But Waze did not suggest that.
I know, because it doesn't probably take into account that you can go 85, 90.
I could go 85, 90 if I wanted to. I didn't want to, because I didn't want a ticket. Because you know who was out? The police!
Po-po. Yeah. Well, no.
Yeah. They were everywhere.
I'm sure.
People pulled over. Police reported ahead. Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm doing, basically, where it was 70, there's parts of the trip that were 70.
Yeah, yeah.
I was doing 76.
Yeah, good.
I do 6 to 7 miles an hour over the speed limit.
I trust you, bro.
I'm just saying.
How dare you. You're just asking questions.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
Nate, you're 100% right.
Ah. Dusted that little nugget right off.
Nate, you're 100% right.
Exactly.
Leroy!
It's Jason mounting an argument against me. Hey, why don't you go down I-5? Hey, Nate, you're making some really good points. Hold on. Hey, did you know you can go 80 miles an hour down I-5? Yeah, I did. Missed you guys so much.
Oh, man. I see. I tell my daughter not to poke a bear when it's sleeping.
I don't know what you were doing. I really don't know what you were doing there. What you were hoping to accomplish.
Exactly what I did.
I'm going to interrupt. Yes. You know what? The best time to interrupt people is right in the middle of the airing of the grievances when they've amped the anger up to the top level.
I love it.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
All right. So we lost a rapper. Someone I was not familiar with it all, but let's take a listen.
We turn out to the breaking news overnight. A Grammy-nominated rapper has been shot and killed outside of his store in Los Angeles. Nipsey Hussle may not be a household name across the country, but he was an inspiration to his legion of fans and fought hard on behalf of children, ending violence, and the less fortunate. I just respected the game. Got my name on in the news. Up-and-coming rapper, community activist, and father of two, Nipsey Hussle, slain in the streets of L.A. in the middle of the afternoon.
Oh, my goodness!
The 33-year-old was gunned down in front of his clothing store as he and two others stood outside, the shooter fleeing the scene, spurring a widespread manhunt. Paramedics rushing the rapper to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. A large crowd of fans gathered at the store to mourn his death.
But why him? Why somebody that cared?
GQ magazine tweeted this message with its cover from earlier this year showing Hussle with his girlfriend Lauren London, while celebrities including Drake, Rihanna, and basketball star Steph Curry paid homage.
Considering where he grew up and how he turned that into something extremely powerful, definitely a sad, tragic event.
A law enforcement source tells the LA Times the shooting was likely gang-related.
I grew up in South Central Los Angeles. You know, we come from gang culture, so we dealt with the system a lot. I think that it's an important subject, it's an important movement that we should all support.
Hussle was known for his work in LA, fighting for children and inspiring African Americans to invest in their own communities, even building a STEM center in Crenshaw. He was scheduled to meet today with the LAPD to discuss ways to stop gang violence. Though he admitted his links to the Crips gang back in 2010, he's collaborated with artists linked to rival gangs without incident. And some are worried his death could spur more violence. One city official says violent retaliation will not be tolerated.
So Nipsey Hussle, educate people a little bit if you would. Kareem, you shared that story on Twitter yesterday.
Man, you know, it was fucking the fact that we celebrate so much bullshit as a culture. I'm going to say hip hop culture, and I'm going to say American culture. Period. And then you get someone who's comes from a really bad situation, who makes the best of it, and who decides that they want to do something to give back to the community. So one of the stories, it says, you know, he would buy shoes for students. He repaved the basketball courts, redid playgrounds in South Central. He provided jobs for the homeless, job and shelter for the homeless. Mm. He paid for funerals of those who struggled to bury their loved ones. You know, and for somebody who comes from, he came from gang culture, but that wasn't who he was.
Right.
He opened a store in his community. He was trying to teach people about self-empowerment, about economics, and about how to help rebuild the community or build the community up. It's really sad that that's one of the people that you decide to kill over bullshit. Because even if it was gang related, it was bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, it was some bullshit, you know, some gang related bullshit.
It's the timing of it. The day before he's supposed to start working with LAPD on something like that.
Yeah.
It's super suspicious.
Well, and then, you know, the other conspiracy theories is about the Dr. CB documentary. That thing's been floating around all day. And part of that is because he'd been tweeting about that if they came to get him, that might have something to do with, if something happened to him, that might have something to do with that. And for you guys, you probably don't know who the fuck Dr. CB is.
No, I don't. Not a clue.
So,
I'm just over here being white.
So, and I don't know, I can't say yay or nay or whatever, but Dr. CB, claimed to have found the cure for AIDS.
Okay.
And, some other diseases. And he got sued by the state of New York, and he won a couple of times. And so when Left Eye died, she was actually at his compound in, I think it's in Guatemala. I probably have it wrong, but in South America, she was at his, she was doing a retreat at his place when she died.
She's been dead for 17 years now, almost.
Yeah. And then he... Dr. CB himself had come, I think it's Honduras. So he had done something and he went back and they arrested him for having money that he couldn't account for. And then he mysteriously died. A person who hadn't really been sick died of pneumonia all of a sudden. And so Nipsey had been talking about working on a documentary. And so that's one of the things. That people have talked about.
Sure. There's always going to be a conspiracy theory.
Yeah. But yeah, just the fact that, you know, he was somebody who was trying to be positive, was being positive, who was trying to, you know, teach the community. It's just fucking sad that he figured out, okay, I can't, no, there's no point in waiting for somebody else to give it to us. This is what we need to do.
He was doing everything that racist white people say black people need to be doing.
Yeah.
Why don't you take care of your community?
Okay, I think I'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jason, you familiar with Nipsey?
Except for a few of his songs. Like, I didn't really know.
And he was nominated for a Grammy this year, too. Yeah. So, it's just, like I said, it's just, fuck.
Well, it's one of those things where I knew nothing about the dude at all. And then I started, you know, when it comes in, I was like, oh, okay. Let me learn a little bit about him, because I'm seeing quite a bit on social media. And yeah, I mean, quoting all the racists that you grew up with, he appears to be one of the good ones. at least recently.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's really sad. And hopefully his work can be continued and, you know, doesn't fall by the wayside, because opening a center where you're teaching science, technology, electronics and math to inner city kids is going to do nothing but help.
Oh, and he did what you wanted to do. He created a workspace, diversity workspace.
Right.
For, you know, different people of different races to come work in, but also so it could be an example to the community.
Here's how you do it.
Yeah. It's like, fuck, dude. Like, really? Like, you couldn't have killed Kodak Black or somebody like that?
And I've heard that. And if if it was in fact gang related, some gang member, some gang beef, like, oh, he's going to cut into our income. That's the guy you took out.
Yeah.
If that doesn't prove to people, if this is in fact a gang takeout, if that doesn't prove to people in that community that the gang is not there to help you in any way, shape or form, even if they happen to in certain instances, they're about themselves and their money.
Yeah. Like, fuck, Soulja Boy still here?
Right. Yeah. I mean, not that we're advocating taking out Soulja Boy. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
There are.
You know, all these fucking, what did they call them?
Mumble rappers.
Mumble rappers. Mm. Like, you couldn't have shot one of them motherfuckers?
There's three Migos.
Yeah, look, you could have, look, there you go. You could have got at least one of them.
I don't want to say, like.
Future's still here? God damn it. He shouldn't have a future.
Little Scooty, whatever, like the white kid with all the tattoos on his face.
Little Pump.
Yeah.
Oh my God, man.
I'm sad that I know that, but I do.
You do, and it's so sad. Yes. No, fuck that guy.
You could have got all them littles. Any of the littles.
No, you know, the thing that, and this is my conspiracy thing.
Oh, okay.
Shit. Is I think it's ridiculous how when you get somebody that's leading a segment of their culture in a way that he was, like, not just in America, but like overseas, also internationally, like working globally, you know, that they get gunned down. Especially like the day before they start working with law enforcement to talk about things like, that it's not the CIA or some other white people like that, you know, like oh, this, we can't let this guy, he's starting to find out the secret. he's gonna make his, I don't know, man.
Mm. Mm. I don't know. I'm going to stay way over here, away from all of your comments right now. All the things about everyone will lull, your conspiracy theory. I'm going to be way over here. You guys be over there with your theories. I'm just saying.
I'm going to say they could have took out the motherfucking littles.
All right, let's move on.
Let Nipsey live.
Whistleblower is alleging the Trump administration's handling of security clearances is threatening U.S. national security. The 18-year career official claiming the Trump administration gave security clearances to dozens of people who shouldn't have had them, including, according to a source, the president's daughter, Ivanka Trump, and son-in-law, Jared Kushner, overruling the office that determines whether a person should get access to the country's biggest secrets. In a letter to the White House counsel, House Oversight Committee Chairman Elijah Cummings said the whistleblower named Tricia Newbold, a career supervisor in the White House office that oversees security clearance operations, believes that Congress must intervene immediately to safeguard our national security. It's the latest sign that Democrats plan to use their new subpoena power in the House to demand answers from the Trump administration. Chairman Cummings has now subpoenaed the former personnel security director, Carl Klein, who allegedly pushed through the clearances, the whistleblower says, despite potential conflicts of interest or possible manipulation by foreign powers.
At what point do you say enough's enough?
There will come a moment when I will do whatever is necessary to be done to carry out my responsibilities under the Constitution.
The president can give out security clearances as he sees fit, but has denied a role in pushing through these clearances.
You tell General Kelly or anyone else in the White House
I don't think I have the authority to do that. I'm not sure I do, but I wouldn't do it.
The ranking member on oversight, Congressman Jim Jordan, called the investigation reckless, that it is an excuse to go fishing through the personal files of dedicated public servants. This as the House Judiciary Committee under Congressman Jerry Nadler announced it plans to subpoena to obtain the full, unredacted Mueller report. He also wants to subpoena some of the biggest names who have worked in the Trump White House, including Steve Bannon, Hope Hicks, and former White House counsel Don McGahn, in relation to their roles in the Mueller probe.
Just when you think you're done, another thing pops up.
Man, that chick said they gave 25 security clearances to people they should have.
Yeah.
having been somebody who's been, you know how fucking fast I'd have been court-martialed if I'd have...
Look, these are not normal times.
Right on the fucking security clearance. Do you know how fast I would have been kicked out of the military?
Hey, listen, rule. Those are for... You're a normal person, all right? Rules apply to you. They don't apply to them.
Like, do you know... I mean, seriously, do you know what it takes to get a fucking security clearance?
It doesn't matter what it takes.
Well, and some of the reasons that she said that they should have been disqualified included financial situations, which could have opened them up for blackmail, drug use. Like, look, if you're a drug addict, you should not have access to national clearance.
No.
Because who knows what you're going to trade. Are you going to trade some secrets for some crack?
Man.
I know guys that are... I know a person that's in an organization. He's not allowed to take money from anything, like outside his work.
Mm-hmm.
Like if let's say he were to do this podcast with us,
right,
and talk on like, and nobody knows who he is, uses a fake name. He could not take any money for that podcast. He could probably talk. That's fine. But if you tried to give him money for being in the podcast, he wouldn't be able to take it.
Right.
Because he can't be compromised.
Exactly. That's the whole point.
I know what it takes to get a top secret security clearance.
I don't, but I would imagine it would require you to not have any financial weaknesses, to have nothing. Nothing that could be easily exploited.
Nothing. I know cats that had to switch jobs in the military because they couldn't pass their security clearance test. I mean, you know, background check.
Right.
And all they did was radio communication. So you're telling me that these motherfuckers are where the top-tops, and you gave them, I don't trust you guys. I'm going to trust them. Like, that's an affront to anybody in the military that has a top secret security clearance.
It really should be an affront to any American who actually claims to care about the security of our country. And you can talk about, oh, there's a crisis at the border, and that's a danger to our security. That's nothing compared to people who shouldn't have security clearance sitting in the White House with full security clearance.
Yes.
Because they have access to things that could be incredibly harmful to our country if they were... somehow found out by a foreign adversary.
Yes.
Or
very profitable to themselves.
Yes. Or it could be very useful to a company that was looking to exploit something.
I think we should buy this random 38 acres in Montana. It just opened up. It was a reserve.
Oh, wow.
But I think you should buy right there.
Oh, to like put a house because there's a great deal?
No. Just buy the land.
Okay.
And then maybe in 5 years we'll dig there and we'll find some stuff.
Oh. Like ancient Indian artifacts?
I mean, that we might find that, but that's not the real treasure.
Oh, okay. I'll just trust you.
Yeah, just trust me.
You seem like someone who knows things.
Buy that 38 acres.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're doing.
Huh. It's crazy. Gonna change the pace right now just a little bit. A little less severe.
Tell me something, girl. Are you happy?
Now, if you're wondering why I'm playing Shallow from A Star Is Born, it's quite popular. It's made its way into pop culture in a variety of ways. It's Bradley Cooper, by the way.
That's when you know the universe isn't fair.
Because Bradley Cooper is good looking, a great actor, and he can sing?
Yes.
I mean, so could Bing Crosby.
Somebody should shoot him in one of his balls.
He's funny.
I believe here comes the Lady Gaga.
Tell me something, boy. Aren't you tired trying to fill that void?
All right, so you get the idea. You've heard the song. So at a WWE house show about a week and a half ago, Elias, whose gimmick is that he plays guitar and sings, broke out this song with Finn Balor, who is not known for his singing.
You're going to sing Lady Gaga's song.
And here's what it sounded like. And you need to hear the original for comparison. So not bad, right? No. He's okay.
Yeah.
And then he hit him from behind.
Somebody should have hit him.
But here's the thing. Like, here's the thing about that. And this is the thing that, like, you, one of the things you learn in improv when you're doing it is commitment.
Right.
Commitment to the bit. Because that didn't say, like, he's a horrible singer. I'm sorry. I did not feel sorry for, you know what I mean? Like, didn't feel embarrassed for him. Like, it was fine. It was entertaining still.
Yeah.
Because he committed to it.
The whole thing leading up to it, he just looked like, I would rather be anywhere than here having to sing this. So he sold it really well leading up to it. But yeah, there, a WWE house show, which if you're unfamiliar, is just a non-televised show. So you go, there's no commercial breaks, and they do fun things that you'll never see on TV like that. So that's what you missed out. Thought I'd go with something a little bit light as we lead to the end. Yeah, we had a whole list of things we were going to talk about today, and boy, we didn't get to most of them. You know what? Let's check in briefly with Coach Dave to see what he thought of the Mueller report.
The Bible says that there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. You understand that? Do you understand that we are in an unveiling like we have never seen? Do you understand that the entire media, the entire deep state, the CIA, the intelligence agencies, the political parties, do you understand? All of that has conspired against Donald Trump, and they failed. Do you understand the magnitude? Do you understand that all the force and power of the American government, hear me now, all of the force and power of the American government was behind the effort to get Donald Trump, and they couldn't get him? Don't you understand that there's some type of hedge, some type of protection around Donald Trump that even the people in the church, they still don't get and still don't understand, that they're so carnal in their own thinking and so religious in their own thinking that they cannot see that for whatever reason, God has placed this hedge protection around the president? Can you imagine anybody? Can you imagine you? If they unleashed the FBI and the special counsel into your life, can you imagine what they would find in your life?
You know, they wouldn't find 30-something indictments of people close to me.
Yeah, I don't think I have any friends that would be going to jail.
Don't underestimate your friends, Jason.
Okay.
Just saying.
Some weird porn and some unpaid parking tickets.
All of those things possible. All right, let's wrap this thing up.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
Let's check in with Marilyn Haggerty and the Eat Beat on a trip to Mike's Pizza and Pub for the club. It had been on my mind for a long time. I wanted a turkey clubhouse sandwich. the kind I usually ordered in the long, long ago. So I made my way to the dining area of Mike's Pizza and Pub. It's located in Restaurant Row called the Boardwalk, overlooking the now frozen Red River of the North. Though Mike's is known for pizza and pub fare, it also features a full menu of salads, burgers, sandwiches, pasta, ribs, shrimp, chicken, and pasta. That's right, she wrote pasta twice. In years gone by, the Eat Beat has reported claims of Mike's bringing the first pizza service to Greater Grand Forks. That was way back when Mike's originally opened in 1964 on Demers Avenue, just across the Sorley Bridge in East Grand Forks. The original owners were Bob and Barry Rosenberg. The Turkey Club sandwich was much to my liking. It's really enough for two people, with its triple layer of toast made with bacon, turkey, cheese, lettuce, and tomato slices. It was served with dill pickle slices and potato chips. It's $12.99, and it is too much. I'll go back and order the same sandwich again, only next time, I'll share the enormous sandwich with one of my Eat Beat buddies. Somehow the leftover food I bring home from restaurants loses its appeal when it sits for a time in the refrigerator. There's more than sandwiches available. Salads, burgers, and pasta are featured on Mike's menu, along with barbecue ribs. Yes, Marilyn, we know. They have more than pizza. You've now said that twice in about six paragraphs. I'm just saying.
Is she going to talk about pasta again?
Who knows? Okay. She's very excited about this place, so...
She is.
We'll get a romantic song. Yeah, it's Marilyn and the thing. Sherry Arnes, the present owner, bought the restaurant bar in 2004, and that was after she had worked for the original Mike's.
Oh, that's a nice story.
It is. At this time, the cooks at Mike's are Sandra and Matt Johnson. Also, Todd Kramchuk.
Kramchuk. That damn Kramchuk is always doing something.
That's nice that she's giving everybody a shout out, though, in the restaurant.
Now, with entrances from the boardwalk as well as 2nd Street, Mike's Pizza is attractive and interesting. There's an ice cream corner and a soup and salad buffet. There is soft music throughout. The booths are large and comfortable, and there are games on the table for customers. Mike's features a lunch buffet between 11 and 2 Monday through Friday, and there are a dozen flavors in the ice cream bar. There, customers find sundaes, shakes, and floats, as well as hand-packed pints of ice cream. Along with restaurant seating and large booths, there's a bar area. Restrooms? They're pleasant, large, clean, comfortable. On two recent visits to Mike's Pizza, my server had been Madeline Westring. She's pleasant. Like the restrooms. Helpful and efficient. And she is the type of waitress who makes you want to go back to Mike's. In case you're looking for it, Mike's Pizza and Pub, 411 2nd Street, East Grand Forks. Owner Sherry Arnes. Call them up, 218-773-2479, hours 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., closing weeknights, and 11 p.m., closing Friday and Saturday. The report card, seating for 100 and an extensive menu, brings lunch and supper customers. Along with those who come for afternoon coffee or ice cream, there are dessert patrons as well as pizza and pub customers. So it's a restaurant? Yeah. A lot of food.
They're right by the 15-plex.
There you go. That's all you needed to know. Thanks, Marilyn.
Thanks, Marilyn.
And thank you for listening to this episode of The Nate Darling Show. We will see you next time.
Nate, you're 100% right.
You betcha.